Hello, how you doing? My name is Kewan Foster, and I'm the church planting pastor of Out of Love Ministries. And on behalf of the Out of Love Ministries community of faith, we welcome you and thank you so much for taking the time to join us. We pray and hope that you are blessed by the word of God that is about to get ready to come forward. We ask that you consider partnering with us as we partner with God to help spread the gospel message around the globe. And you can do that by subscribing to our YouTube channel, clicking likes on our videos, and sharing those videos with others. So again, welcome, and may the peace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. And so last week, if you did not have an opportunity to view or listen to last week's message, then we invite you to do so. We'll make sure we include a link in the description box from last week's message, and pray and hope that you are blessed by that message. And so today, we are going to be looking at a new passages of scripture that can be found in Luke's gospel, chapter 13. And I'm going to read through Luke chapter 13, verses 10 through 17. Luke chapter 13, verses 10 through 17. And as I was preparing my mind and heart for this message, it dawned on me that in the years that I've been preaching and teaching the word of God, I've never have preached or taught on this passage of scripture before. And this passage of scripture is a well-known passage and text. In fact, many are familiar with this passage of scripture through T.D. Jakes, because T.D. Jakes had a conference that he used to do called Woman, Thou Art Loose, and even wrote a book, just a well-known, well-received book called Woman, Thou Art Loose. And the focus of his conference and of the book was on this passage of scripture. And so I'm very excited about being able to have an opportunity for us to look at this word of God today and to be able to glean from the word of God, what is God saying to us through what occurs in this specific passage of scripture. Again, Luke chapter 13, verses 10 through 17. And the word of God reads as such. Now he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And behold, there was a woman who had had a disabling spirit for 18 years. She was bent over and could not fully straighten herself. When Jesus saw her, he called her over and said to her, "Woman, you are freed from your disability." And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight, and she glorified God. But the ruler of the synagogue, indignant because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath, said to the people, "There are 6 days in which work ought to be done. Come on those days and be healed, and not on the Sabbath day." Then the Lord answered him, "You hypocrites! Does not each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or his donkey from the manger and lead it away to water it? And ought not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan bound for 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day?" And as he said these things, all his adversaries were put to shame, and all the people rejoiced in all the glorious things that were done by him. Amen, amen, amen. I want to speak from this thought, you all. He can straighten it out. He can straighten it out. Amen, amen, and amen. When I think about the character of God, there are many things that I am fascinated about. When I think about his character, I find it fascinating that God can still love us in spite of how much evil, how much wickedness, how much hatred, how much sin that we continue to be involved in, engaged in, but yet and still God still has the capacity to love us in spite of the things that we do. I find it fascinating that God is able to be everywhere and know everything that is going on all at the same time. That when we talk about him being omnipresent, it means that you cannot escape from the presence of God. This is why David said, "O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. You know my down sitting and my up risings." That there is nowhere we can go to try to flee from the presence of God. And Jonah found this out the hard way when he tried to get on a ship, or when he got on a ship and attempted to flee away from God when God gave him an assignment. Imagine trying to run from God. But when I reflect on his character, I'll say what I find the most fascinating as a child of God, what causes my mind to just light up and my brain to light up like fireworks on the 4th of July, is when I begin to think about his unlimited power. The power that God possesses blows my mind, and it is on full display all throughout Scripture as we read. The power that God was able to create this world into existence with just simply speaking. You all, come on. See, for many of us, if we want things done, we have to take action to get them done. Got to get up and move and got to put something together. I know my wife and I, we are so thankful to the Lord. We have been blessed with two handsome little boys, two twin boys, Ezra and Nehemiah. And in preparation for them getting here, there were several things that needed to be done. The bassinet needed to be put together. I couldn't say bassinet be put together and the bassinet put itself together. No, I had to open up the box, read the instructions, and I had to put together the bassinet. In fact, I still have a couple more assignments I need to complete. I need to put together their little swing set. And I'm going to open up the box and read the instructions and put that together. But God is so powerful. God is so awesome. God is so indescribable that the biblical narrative said that he simply spoke this world into existence. God said, "Let there be light." And light stepped on the scene. God said, "Let there be animals." And the animals came into existence. That type of power amazes me. And here's one of the things, you all, that I find so exciting about knowing and what I take comfort in knowing about the power of God, and what gives me peace when I look at my own life as a child of God, is that if God is omnipotent, which means omni means all, omni means all, omnipotence, power, if he's all powerful, then that means there's nothing that I can go through in this life that God cannot straighten out. Oh, y'all better hear me right now. There is nothing that you have gone through in your life that God cannot straighten it out, because he can if you give him the opportunity. And in this passage of scripture today, we find a story, a very fascinating story, a very unique story, because this is classified as a miracle story. This is one of the miracles that Jesus performed. And there's a lot of moving parts that's going on in this passage of scripture. For example, we are told that this miracle took place on the Sabbath day, which would have been Saturday, which was the day that was set aside as being the day that was holy, the day when the Jews would not do anything and work, but that they will rest and recognize and honor God. This took place on the Sabbath day, the day when the people would be, quote unquote, in church, so to speak. Bible says it took place on the Sabbath, and the location was in the synagogue, which would be the equivalent of church. So the Bible says, now he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath day. Who is he? He is given reference to Jesus. So something that Jesus did throughout his ministry, he would use opportunities to go into the synagogue to teach. And no doubt, whenever he would find himself in the synagogues teaching, Jesus would find himself running into opposition. And much of this opposition came from the religious leaders because they were in disagreement with Jesus' methods and they were in disagreement with who Jesus presented himself to be. The text says that Jesus was teaching on the Sabbath day in the synagogue, and behold, there was a woman who had been who had a disabling spirit for 18 years. She was bent over and could not fully straighten herself. As Jesus is in the synagogue teaching, Jesus knew before he even got to the synagogue to teach. Come on now, he already knew what he was going to do. He already knew that the woman was there. Jesus said, the glory of God will be made known on this day. The text said, you all, that this woman had a disabling spirit, a spirit of infirmity. For 18 years, she was bent over and could not fully straighten herself. I just want y'all to think about that for a moment. I want y'all to think about that. Because many of us complain about the issues that we face, about our circumstances, about our challenges. And some of us complain when we've been facing specific challenges and situations for a couple of weeks. We complain, I'm just so tired and I don't know what to do. Oh, Lord, please help me. Some of us find ourselves in those situations for months and we complain and say, oh, Lord, I don't know what to do. Oh, Lord, help me. This woman, according to the text, dealt with this for 18 years. And watch this, you all. Her issue, her situation, her challenge was not something that she could mask or something she could hide. It was something that everybody saw. Her disability was something that everybody saw, that was on full display every single day. They saw this woman physically bent over to the point where she couldn't even lift up her eyes to the sky. She could not even lift up her head. She spent most of her time looking down rather than looking up. Y'all better walk with me right now. The biblical narrative says that she could not fully straighten herself. This woman was in a situation where she did not possess the ability or the capability to straighten out her own situation. And I'm here to tell you right now that there are going to come a time, they're going come some times in your life when there's certain things that you are not going to be able to straighten out on your own. Y'all better walk with me right now. There's some things that money cannot straighten out. Come on, somebody. There are some things that we deal with, that I deal with, that you deal with, that you cannot straighten out on your own, which should cause us to exercise a level of humility, whereby we recognize that we're not all powerful and that we cannot save ourselves and that we don't have the ability to transform our situation at the drop of a dime, at the blink of an eye. But I know a God who is able to do so. The Bible says that when Jesus, in verse 12, saw her, when Jesus saw her, I like that the text says, when Jesus saw her, implying that Jesus took the time to have compassion on this woman and to know the situation that she was in, that Jesus did not overlook this woman. He saw her for what? what she was going through, but he did not allow this woman's situation to cause him to peg her as being a person who was just disabled. He saw her for more than that. He saw her, according to the text, as a daughter of Abraham. The Bible says when Jesus saw her, see, this is the problem for many people. Many people get frustrated with God. Many people get angry with God because they associate certain things not occurring in their life at certain time as God not caring, because if God cared, God clearly would have moved on their behalf and God would have answered their petition. But God does not work like that, you all. I'm here to tell you right now that I'm 39 years old and I've been walking with the Lord since I was 17 years old. And there are some things that I pray to God about. There are some things I petition God about. And God did not show up when I wanted him to show up, but he showed up when he needed to show up. And there was times in my walk with God when I begged and I pleaded and I asked, and when he didn't show up, I found myself getting an attitude. But that was because I needed to grow in my faith, and more specifically, I needed to grow in my understanding of the character of God, to understand that God ain't some genie where you could just rub a lamp and summon him, and when he comes, you say, all right, Lord, here's what I need you to do. I had to understand that God wasn't a spare tire that I can just pull him out when I need him and he'll just start answering and fulfilling my request. He is the Almighty God and he chooses to move on his own timetable. Somebody better walk with me right now. The biblical narrative says when Jesus saw her, and when I read this passage of scripture, y'all, it reminds me of the passage of the healing of the man at the pool of Bethesda. Because in that passage of scripture, the Bible says that Jesus went to the pool of Bethesda that had five large, long porches. And in this place laid a great multitude of people who had infirmities and sickness, who were waiting for the moving of the water. And the Bible says when Jesus saw that there was a man that had been there for 30 plus years, he engaged that man and asked him, do you want to be made whole? Jesus sees. And he knows where you are and what you are going through. Take comfort in knowing that he sees you and he knows what you're going through. The text goes on and says that when Jesus saw her, he called her over and said to her, woman, you are freed from your disability. Now, I like this, you all. Not only did he see the woman, but the Bible says that Jesus called the woman. He summoned the woman. Now, here's why I like this, you all, because he called the woman. He told the woman, come here. Now, watch this. The woman could have been stuck up and her disposition could have been one whereby she was bitter. And when Jesus called her, she could have said, I'm not coming to you. Do you not understand what's going on in my body physically? Do you not understand what I have to do and the energy that I have to exert just to get over to you? Do you not understand that I'm bent over, that I have a spinal condition, that my back is bothering me, and I don't have time to make my way across the room? She didn't say any of those things, you all. What you trying to say, preacher? What I'm trying to say is that some of you all, God has not been able to straighten out certain things in your life because he's already called you. He's already summoned you, but you're still making excuses. You're still idle. So God is still waiting for you to take the first step. Somewhere I read, draw near unto God and he will draw near unto you. The Bible says that Jesus called this woman and the woman came to Jesus. Because my brothers and sisters, listen to me. Many of you may have not ever experienced the type of medical condition and situation that this woman had. But I know many of you all can identify that emotionally and spiritually, and that you face some things in life that has caused you to be bent out of shape. Some things that have caused you to be bent over, some things that have caused you to be oppressed. Maybe you have experienced or you're going through a bent over situation in your marriage. Maybe you are going through a situation that needs to be straightened out as you are dealing with your children in your household and them not being respectful to what you are trying to teach them as it relates to the ways and the will of the Lord. Maybe you are going through something at your job that has you bent over. What I'm trying to say, you all, is that regardless of what you are going through, God can straighten it out. But in order for God to straighten it out, there has to be a willingness in your heart to be obedient, that when God calls you forth, when he summons you, you have to be ready. Jesus told this woman, come here. And as soon as the woman came to Jesus, the Bible says that Jesus made this pronouncement, woman, you are freed from your disability. I can only imagine the shock or the look or what went on in this woman's body when Jesus said this. Oh, I wish I could have seen how the rest of the church members responded when Jesus said this. He spoke specifically to her. Now watch this, you all. Jesus could have easily healed this woman without doing the second part of what this passage of scripture says, and that is that he laid his hands on her. I believe that Jesus laid his hands on this woman because he wanted it to be personal. He wanted this woman to know and to feel the compassion of God. He wanted this woman to feel a special touch from God. The Bible says in verse 13, and he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and she glorified God. Y'all ain't just hear what that said. The Bible says that when Jesus laid his hands on her, immediately, you all listen to that. That's one of the things I love about Luke's gospel. When Luke is describing the miracles and some of the miracles that took place, he would use that word immediately, indicating to the writer that it happened right there at that moment, which gives way to the power of God, that at that moment when Jesus laid his hands on this woman, he didn't have to say a prayer. He didn't have to get any anointing oil. He didn't have to fast. All Jesus did was lay his hands on this woman, and immediately a woman who had been bent over for 18 years now was straightened out. Now think about this, you all. Once that woman was straightened out, can you imagine the excitement that rushed through her body? Can you imagine everything that went through her mind? Can you imagine what everybody else said and thought when they saw this miracle, you all? Watch this. Here's something else that I haven't even talked about, you all. 18 years this woman went to church, because the Bible says she was in the synagogue. 18 years this woman went to church and did not see any changes in her physical condition. She remained bowed over. She prayed for 18 years for deliverance, but she remained bowed over. She fasted perhaps for a long time, but she remained bowed over. This woman kept coming to church, and she was faithful, and God rewarded her faithfulness in spite of. God is looking for people who are faithful, because those who are faithful are those who God can use in a mighty way. The biblical text says he laid his hands on her and immediately she was made straight. Now watch this, you all. As soon as this woman was healed, there's a number of things she could have did. She could have ran up out of the synagogue, went to a relative house to share the good news that what had happened to her. She could have ran to the grocery store and say, now I'm in the grocery store, I can get some of my best groceries. She could have ran to the beauty salon, got her hair done, nails done, toenails done. There's a number of places that this woman could have gone, but I want you to see where this woman stayed at and what she did. The Bible says that the woman glorified God because she knew unequivocally where her healing came from. It came from God. Jesus is God. And this woman healing came from God. And she gave God all the glory. See, that's what's wrong with some of us right now. The things that have occurred in our life that God has moved on our favor or in our favor, we still have yet to recognize and acknowledge him for who he is and give him the glory for what he has done. And then you're wondering why. It appears that God has not moved again in your life in a mighty way. Could it be because you lack appreciation? You lack thankfulness? Could it be that your pride keeps you from acknowledging that God did it? And that he is to be glorified, that he is to be lifted up, and that it's not about you, and that it's definitely not about me. Now, watch this, you all. Now, you would think that after this woman who was bent over and had this issue for 18 years, you would think that this woman, once she received her healing, that everybody in the house of God would have been happy for her. But now, let me tell y'all something. Everybody who says amen is not shouting amen because of your deliverance. You'll catch that in a little while. Everybody who shouts amen is not amening God and being celebratory because of your breakthrough. Now, you would think that if anybody would be happy for this woman, it would be the leadership. No, look at what the text says, you all. Verse 14 says, but the ruler of the synagogue, indignant because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath, said to the people, didn't even say this. Look, said to the people, you all, there are 6 days in which work ought to be done. Come on those days and be healed and not on the Sabbath day. Can you listen to this, you all? Are you understanding what this man just said? In essence, this man overlooks and disregards completely this woman's healing. Sets it on the back burner and tells everybody, listen, there's 6 other days during the week where you can come and be healed. How about you come and be healed on those days? Don't you do no work on the Sabbath day. And Jesus walked them to the front and walked them right on to the back, you all. Listen what Jesus said in verse 15. Jesus said this, then the Lord answered him, you hypocrites. Does not each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or his donkey from the manger and lead it away to water it? Now, you better walk with me now. See, Jesus had to straighten it out. I'm telling you all, God will straighten it out. And when we're not walking in the righteousness of God and we are crippled by sin, God will straighten us out with a word if we allow him to. Jesus said, it's time for me to straighten this man out. Because see, this woman right here, she was physically bowed over and bent over and could not lift up her hands to the sky. But spiritually, the woman had all the inner workings and what was going on, because despite her physical circumstances, she still came to the house of God. And when she received her healing, she acknowledged and gave glory to God. Unlike this leader of the synagogue, that although he was well physically, he was bent over, arrogant, pompous, prideful in his spirit. And he was the one that really needed to be straightened out. And Jesus straightened him out because he can straighten it out. And the it sometimes can be us. The Bible says that Jesus told him, you hypocrite. On the Sabbath day, you will take your ox and your donkey, your animal, who you tend to every day, And you're going to untie that animal and you're going to lead that animal away to get water. Now, you all watch this. As I was reading this passage, I couldn't help but think, and I'm sorry, y'all, I just got to say it. I couldn't help but think as I was reading this passage of scripture, what came to my mind is the emphasis that people place, or let me say this. This is what I'm trying to say. What came to my mind is how much more value we can place sometimes on animals in respects to the life of our own human being. I just scratch my head, you all, because I can't understand that. You got people that'll shake heaven and earth to get special rights for animals and do's and don'ts, but could care less about basic rights for human beings. Jesus walked this leader out and he said, y'all are a bunch of hypocrites because you're going to chastise me for healing this woman on the Sabbath? When on the Sabbath, if you claim you're not supposed to do any work, you untie your donkey and your ox and you lead it away to get something to drink. Then Jesus said in verse 16, you all, and we're done. Look at what Jesus said in verse 16. Jesus said, and ought not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan bound for 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day? Notice that Jesus attributes this woman's infirmity to Satan. And he said it was Satan who had this woman bound. But it was God who came and released her. Jesus released her. Listen to me, you all. The enemy wants to keep you in bondage and hold you bound. But Jesus wants you free, because whom the Son sets free, they are free indeed. But Satan wants you to be held in bondage. Why? Because as long as you are in bondage, as long as you are in bondage, for many of us, you feel like there is no hope. As long as you are in bondage and bent over, you say to yourself, you don't have a reason to lift your head. As long as you are in bondage, you feel that there is no way out. As long as you are in bondage, you feel that God does not love you, that he does not care. As long as you are in bondage, it's difficult. It's challenging. Excuse me. It's hard to bless the Lord at all times so that his praise will continually be in your mouth. But when the chains are broken, there's a freedom that is in your spirit that will cause you to leap with joy that you've never experienced before, that you will be so light in your spirit and in the presence of God that you will be able to know that I'm only here because God has set me free. Some of you all right now are in bondage, and I don't know what it is that Satan has you in bondage about. I don't know what it is that has you so wrapped up and bound that you can't even bless the Lord at all times. What is going on in your life where you can't give your all to God? What does Satan have on you? Because God is ready to set you loose. But you got to be ready and you have to be willing. You have to be willing that when he calls you, when he summons you, that you are ready to take your place and come. Look at this, you all, and we're done. The Bible says, and as he said these things, all his adversaries were put to shame, and all the people rejoiced at all the glorious things that were done by him. I'm going to tell y'all like this and I'm done. It's a whole nother sermon. It's so unfortunate, but it's the truth. And I've said this before, but unfortunately at times, the people and the places or the people that you would hope would be happy for you are not always happy and rejoicing for you. But boy, when you're down and out, when you're bent over, when you have issues that keep you crying out to God, oh, they're there with you. They're on the phone. They're sending you encouraging messages. But as soon as God looses you, those same people have something negative to say about your breakthrough, about your deliverance. Let me tell you something. Don't worry about them. You keep your eyes focused on the Lord, and you keep on giving him glory for who he is and what he has done for you. The biblical narrative said that everybody, the religious leaders, they were put to shame. Because Jesus had to school them and help them understand, this woman right here is a human being. She is a daughter of Abraham. This woman needed me, and I responded to a need. And while everybody in here should have jumped for joy and praised God, and there should have been a hallelujah party, you, oh religious leader and leaders, have something negative to say because I've broke the rules, not that God has made, but the superficial rules you have made. He can straighten it out. Oh, when I look at this story, you all, I'm so excited. I'm hopeful. Because what this story lets me know, as I started out, there's nothing that I can go through in my life that the power and presence of God cannot straighten out. And I'm here to tell you today that I don't care what you have gone through or what you are going through, God wants to straighten it out. Have faith, believe, don't give up, and be ready to respond when he calls you forth. Let us go to God in prayer. Oh, gracious and everlasting God, Lord, we come to you in the name of Jesus. Lord, thank you for an opportunity to hear this word. Lord, thank you for an opportunity to be able to just look into your word and know that you can straighten out any situation that has us bent over. Lord God, we bless you and we love you. In Jesus' name, amen.